Hello and welcome to another episode of
Pop Culture Rewind. Fuck Houston Wrestling Radio.
Bunch of amateurs over there.
That wetback and that Donald Trump wannabe. And you. What's up, man?
Hey, yeah. We're back again.
Yeah.
Back in the saddle.
Quicker than you thought, huh?
A little bit. Like a week.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I tried to avoid you on purpose. I even gave you an extra day.
You did. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow?
Yeah. Okay. I guess.
Yeah. All right. So, this week we're going to have another episode about Walking Dead. They did their mid-season finale.
Straight up. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
But we'll get in that here in a minute.
A few minutes.
First, before we do that,
we got to pause. There we go.
For some more pop culture goodness, we're going to rewind this past week or two.
Yeah.
There's some pretty awesome trailers and news bits, things like that, that's been coming out. So,
week has been trailer heavy.
It has
been. Hardcore trailer heavy.
You know what? You mentioned this to me before we started recording. I was actually thinking about, you brought it up. Like, are we doing a trailer episode? Because that's been a thing. We've done that before a couple of times. We've done Trailer Palooza. I guess it's...
So what do we have so far? We had Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Logan. We had Logan a while back.
Last week was Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and The Mummy. We talked about those two.
Oh, yeah, The Mummy.
We did talk about that other one, too. But this week, man, it's just like, I guess they're gearing up for Christmas and they're throwing everything out, see what works, see what sticks. The first one, I think it's going to be... I don't know which one's most talked about, but Spider-Man Homecoming. Let's get into that one. That's the anticipated return to Marvel Studios in conjunction with Sony.
So Sony just said, here, you have it, but we're going to put our name in the back so that we get the dividends.
Right.
Right? Okay, good. So I saw Marvel Studios on there. I was like, wait a minute. How much was this like a committed relationship, or was it supposed to be like...
Basically, Marvel's getting, they're the ones coming out on top of this thing. Sony's just, they're just getting the back end on everything.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. But the trailer came out. We've seen pictures here and there, teases before the trailer actually dropped. Initial reaction, I was impressed. I was like, it felt like a Marvel movie. And that's something that you can't say, or I can't say, about the past Spider-Man trailers that I've seen. Did you get the vibe that it was a Marvel movie?
I did. Devil's Advocate, though.
Okay, all right.
How many of these Marvel movies have we gotten in the last 6 years? Like, we just got a Doctor Strange movie.
Right.
As awesome as it was your prototypical hero... finds himself in the trenches, pulls himself back up with help, becomes a hero, and whoever pulls him back up eventually is going to be the person who's going to turn on him in the next movie.
Oh, that's going to happen. I'm talking about like the overall, just the feel and the vibe of the presentation, I guess, of the trailer itself.
Oh, yeah. Straight
it
up Marvel.
Felt like a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And if they can maintain that for 2 to 2.5 hours, I assume, however long this movie's going to be.
4.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which I don't care because, dude, Michael Keaton as the Vulture, fuck, I am in. Like, this is the sequel to Birdman.
Man, think about it, man. Michael Keaton, we're getting Batman versus Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't think about that, did you?
Yeah.
But that was a pretty cool shot. We'll talk about it real quick. The shot of Vulture coming down was cool enough as it is, but that shot of him turning his head with the little beady eyes and everything,
the aviator jacket with all the fluff around it.
Like,
yeah.
It's like they took a corny...
They modernized it.
Yeah, they took like a corny B character, B villain for Spider-Man, which I always considered him like a B villain for him. Some people will probably put him on a higher pedestal, but whatever. It's the Vulture. Come on. Mm. He dresses like a bird.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, because again, another example of how many Marvel movies have we seen. I was like, oh, great. Fucking Falcon went heel. No, this is the Vulture. This is the difference. The dude's got beady eyes. He's got an aviator jacket. His costume, even the breathing apparatus, is like an Air Force fighter, like cockpit, right. Like a Lockheed Martin F fighter pilot gear. Like, they made him look like a badass. And I want to see what
for 2 seconds.
For the 2 seconds we got, yeah. And so the other 2 seconds for Electro. what it looked like.
I don't think it's Electro. Electro's not in this. I've heard it's not official, but if you pause and if you dissect this,
I'm sorry, not Electro. Shocker.
Shocker.
Shocker is what I meant to say.
There's a split second shot.
Yeah.
If you Google Shocker, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you'll see. I saw that he's in a jacket. He's got the maroon and the yellowish tint to
testing
him.
Testing out some tech.
And I think there was another villain in here somewhere.
The Tinker, or some guy that does the technology.
I don't know.
It's supposed to be an obscure character, but like hardcore Spider-Man fans, they'll be like, "That guy, I remember that guy." Yeah.
But enough about that. I want to mention web wings. There's a shot where Spider-Man, he's
over the copter.
Yeah, he did like a little backward jump, flip, and
yeah, spread. He did the jump backwards. Yeah. Yet when you see them over the helicopter, it's like the other way around.
When he spreads his arms out, and he's got the spider web wings.
Yeah,
that's old. That's paying respect right there to the comic.
Yeah,
right there. Because out of five movies so far, we haven't got that.
Five and a half, if you count Avengers. If you count Civil War. Five and a half.
You're right the first time. Yeah. Avengers 2.5. Yeah. But the Tom Holland, the actor that's playing Peter Parker, Spider-Man, I mean, he still comes off feeling like Peter Parker, like Spider-Man. And he's relatively new to the role, and I think that's good on him. I mean, he's doing a good job, but it's also the fact that, they picked a relatively unknown actor.
Yeah.
So now, after his big debut in Civil War, that's all you associate him with. So now when you see him, like, oh, shit, there's fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because you got to think that debut that he had on Civil War, dude, that just set the tone. You have to carry that momentum. And I think they're doing a good job so far. I know a lot of people have been saying that this is this is going to be like a John Hughes film, pretty much. It's like a 80s high school type thing. I sort of get that vibe a little bit. When they're in the high school and they're talking about the girls and everything like that, so in the locker room, even the song they're playing, I don't know the name of the song, but the music that they're playing, it all felt very high school-y, and it felt like something that you might see in a John Hughes movie for all intents and purposes. So
for anybody that doesn't know, like me, throw out some John Hughes movies:
Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink.
There you go. Now I'm even more psyched up.
The trifecta.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to this. I still want to be a little bit cautiously optimistic, but the trailer did lighten some load off that for me. Yeah. So
hopefully Sony understands that they made the right decision by getting Marvel, because Spider-Man is without a doubt the highest grossing Marvel superhero that they that's available. Like, as far as recognizable merch wise, movie wise, like this is the equivalent of Batman, basically,
for DC.
And if Sony not once but twice had to reboot the character, if they can't get it right, they would realize that hopefully that they understand the right decision was, hey, Marvel needs to be behind the steering wheel. We'll loan them the car just as long as they realize where to park it.
Right.
When they're done.
Yeah.
And dude, they're not going to regret it. So hopefully this opens the door for other places to merge together. Yeah, Fox. So that we can get, like, the Infinity Gauntlet with, like, 8,000 mutants. Mutants!
Yes! None of this Inhumans shit.
Yeah.
Hey, you just mentioned Logan.
Haha!
There was a little bit of a little asterisk news bit about the old man Logan over here.
Yeah.
We all know, it was announced months ago, that Logan's going to be rated R. The first Wolverine rated R movie. So we're going to see some hacking and some slacking.
Yeah, it's like 15 years.
Slashing. That's what I'm going to say. Hacking and slashing. But we more news have come out about that apparently Hugh Jackman, he took a pay cut to make it rated R. So I didn't know that pay equates out to ratings, to what your rating is. But I guess you sacrifice one. Well,
I think it's one of the articles I read online, I think it was through IO9, was that the highest grossing movies are never rated R.
Mm-hmm.
So you're limiting your audience. But at the same time, you've sold your soul to have Hugh Jackman and all these in this franchise. And to keep him, like, the smart money would be, hey, I'm going to take some money up. I'm going to take a little less money up front, get some extra points on the cutback. So that when the merchandising and everything comes through, he's going to get what he's coming to him. Especially if Deadpool was a success rated R, I know there's a lot of things that ties into that. Ryan Reynolds, the writing, the story, everything.
Right.
And the fervor. Like, we wanted Deadpool forever. We've had Wolverine forever.
Right.
Like, Hugh Jackman as a character, he's cool in the character, regardless of how directors book his character in the movie or write him the way that it's not as entertaining as a story arc like Old Man Logan, that it's, like, recognizable to comic book fans. And if you do it right, we'll watch it, like, 14 times in the theater. So... If like, literally, put your money where your mouth is, and Hugh's the perfect guy to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this is a calculated move, and everybody wins.
And that just shows, like, how much, not only is he dedicated to the franchise, but how much he loves that, playing that character.
Yeah.
And this is his last one going out, so maybe
there's one person that's trying to change that. Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
They're already working on Deadpool 2, which is supposed to be Deadpool and Cable. He is already looking 25 steps ahead. He wants the third Deadpool movie to be a buddy movie with him and Wolverine. Hugh Jackman Wolverine. He wants him to come back around for one more shot. And as much as he might want to do other projects, he's not dumb. If this R-rated Wolverine does as good or somewhere near the ballpark that Deadpool did, if Deadpool 2 manages to keep the momentum that the first movie made, dude, Deadpool and Wolverine, the buddy story.
Not only that, dude.
I'm like, that's like, for me, that would eclipse anything that the Marvel Studios has done. Like, I will I would, for Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman being those characters in a combined movie, over Guardians, over Avengers, everything. Like, my anticipation level.
Strong words, yeah. Man.
My anticipation level will be like at a 48,002.6.
So basically, I think you want to see the movies. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That will break a lot of things besides the internet, like my wallet.
And your pants. What? No.
Again?
Yeah, dude. Deadpool and Wolverine. That'd be one thing, and not only that, that'd be a good payoff for all the mentions that he got in the first Deadpool movie. You know, there's several.
Hell, he could make a cameo in the movie just as Hugh Jackman for part 2.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
do I know you? Nah, mate.
Yeah. I can see, and you know what? I can see them doing that too. I can even see him doing that in part 2. Honestly.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Yeah, but do you think we'd? Okay, so if this is Hugh Jackman's last Wolverine officially.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony still has, I mean, Fox still has X-Men. Who do you cast to replace Wolverine? Or do you? Or do you just go with X-23?
I would give it time, because in this Logan movie, X-23 is like not even a teenager. She's like 12. Give her some time to grow up into, like, maybe if she can grow up to, like, what's the girl that played Hit Girl in Kick-Ass?
Oh yeah,
Chloe Moritz.
Right. Yeah.
Like, she was a little kid in the first Kick-Ass, and by the second movie, a couple years later,
she grew like 3 feet.
So yeah, if you give whoever's playing Laura Kinney the time to have her growth spurt and have her come along into the next one.
Someone spread the rumor. I don't know who it was, but it got endorsed by Hugh Jackman. He said that's a really good idea. Tom Hardy, freaking Mad Max. He's got the ruggedness to him, dude. You know, Bane, Mad Max. I could see it. I could definitely see it working out, dude. He's got the build for it. I mean, he'll be a more comic book, not comic book looking, but like he'll be he's more built like the comic book version of Wolverine. A little bit shorter.
My only problem with that, dude, is just as a moviegoer, I hate actors that try to get into everything. Like, I see Tom Hardy as Bane.
Mm-hmm.
Done. So if I see Bane in another franchise movie, it just throws my perception off, and I can't really invest into the character. I don't like crossing streams here, but we've compared it on our wrestling show, dude. Give CM Punk Phillip Brooks some time to build.
Oh, get out of here with that.
I just fucking... No, Tom Hardy would be a good fit, though. But honestly, dude, if whether it's Marvel Studios or Fox or Sony, the trend is starting to turn where it's becoming a lot more accessible, especially in Hollywood, or acceptable to have women in leads like this. Hmm. Why not just go with X-23 and build through her story, just like in the comics that are going on right now. Spoiler alert for anybody that's not reading them yet. She becomes the new Wolverine.
She is the new Wolverine.
Yeah, she is the new Wolverine. Yeah, so like have this next movie after Logan, or the next X-Men movie, or somehow they do some kind of traveling time travel, whatever, or they meet up with Laura King, right, with her grown up or whatever, and she just takes over the Wolverine mantle.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't mind it.
I don't have that much faith in Fox, to be honest.
They have not.
Yeah,
they have not given you any reason to. So
okay, one last thing about Marvel. Quick hit and potential spoilers if you're not caught up, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they just did their, I think they're right before their break, their mid-season break here. They finished up.
I can still hear you.
The mid-season, I don't care if you hear. They just finished up the Ghost Rider storyline.
I hope it's not the end.
I hope it's not either, but where it ended up, it seems like that's the last we're going to see of them for now. But that transition into a new storyline, earlier in the season, again, spoiler alert, they created an android. If you're familiar with the comics, LMD, Life Model Decoy. Yeah. And that was one thing. And everybody's freaking out about that now because of Ultron. Like, I think that was a line in the last episode. Did everybody forget about Ultron?
Yeah.
So they get really nervous about androids. Well, it ended up, again, not going to be too spoiler on this. Try not to. But when they come back from the break,
someone in the team is not really someone in the team.
Or more than one person is not.
Oh,
yeah. It's basically, before it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider. Now it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. LMD. So it's like a whole new logo.
Another arc?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to it. I know we were saying in quite a bit, like, the Ghost Rider was the best part of that.
Oh, yeah.
You said it was Ghost Rider and Friends? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Ghost Rider. But no narc on the rest of the characters, because I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. off and on. I'm consistent enough with it that I've invested in a lot of these characters where, right, I can do a single episode on Fitzsimmons, or I can do a single episode on Daisy.
You know the characters.
I know, yeah, and they keep me invested. But Ghost Rider was not like the cherry on top. It was like the bowl you put the ice cream in. And without Ghost Rider, that thing just went, ugh.
I'm just going to say one thing. Spoiler alert again. This happened not the last episode, but the episode before that. Ghost Rider possesses Mac. But yeah. And Uh-oh. He is a bad motherfucker as Ghost Rider. That's all I'm going to say.
You know who I miss? I forgot the dude's name. The killer, the black guy that turned out to be the killer, not the killer, but the robot dude.
Deathlok.
Deathlok!
Yeah.
Dude, did they ever, like, maybe I missed something?
I don't think so. I know they brought him back for like one or two more episodes after his main story arc, but I don't think what happened. Listeners, if you're, maybe you can leave a comment or something. Yeah, maybe they should do like a Deathlok spinoff or something. See, that's one of the things I was telling you about. Like, that was what's been missing. Like, Ghost Rider, when they brought in Ghost Rider, that's something that's been missing, you know, from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because before that, it's just them, whatever, nobody really cares. Yeah. But when you start bringing these other characters that we know, Deathlok was kind of cool, but Ghost Rider was
worse. Deathlok was a bit obscure. We had experience with Ghost Rider. We already had an opinion of what he could look like if done right. And as I'm a decent Cage fan. But regardless of the two movies, this is probably the best edition of Ghost Rider that we've seen in the Marvel.
Oh, yeah. It's easy. Screen. Yeah. Hands down. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a wonderful job with Ghost Rider. And like I said, Charger.
Oh.
Yeah, it's nice. Okay, so that's going to be it for our Marvel talk.
We can't talk Marvel without DC, though.
You, my friend, just beat me to the punch. There was one little news bit that came out today, matter of fact.
It's not little.
Okay.
The rumor's not a rumor anymore. All-female DC movie. It's coming. I didn't know.
David Ayer is the director of Suicide Squad. He's teaming up again with Margot Robbie. They're doing Gotham City Sirens. If you're a comic book reader, comic book fan, that was a comic that came out, I think, earlier this year, maybe late last year. But it stars Harley Quinn, Catwoman, and Poison Ivy.
Oh.
So we're going to get a live action movie with those three characters on it. So that should be interesting. I don't know who
Margot Robbie actually has a higher stake in this movie than normal, right? Isn't she like a producer or a writer maybe?
Probably. I know David Ayers has come back to direct it. Of course, our man Geoff Johns, the savior of DC film, he's producing still.
So far. He's still got time to screw it up.
Oh yeah.
I'm still positive. I'm still optimistic about Wonder Woman, but still, they still need to build up some more equity before I can make that statement you just made.
Anything that is got to do with like the Suicide Squad franchise, you take it for me. I take it for what it's worth, and I think of it as just like fun stuff, fun times. Don't take it too seriously. Just let it roll. And if it ties into the main Justice League stuff, so be it. But they're just I could tell they're. It's got a nice style and feel to the Suicide Squad. And I think with him teaming up again with Margot Robbie, I think that's going to carry over. They're still going to do Suicide Squad 2, and they're also planning a Deadshot spinoff movie too. So they have plans for this franchise just of Suicide Squad. Separate from Justice League.
Hopefully Will Smith sticks around because he's got a pretty good track record of making good movies that he's the star of. You know, I'm still like dying. It's been on Redbox for a while, but I'm dying to watch the Concussion football movie with Will Smith as the doctor that
apparently
finds
it. You've never seen After Earth.
Oh, with his son?
Yeah.
It's because, you know, when you have the personal relationships involved, they're not going to work. The movies don't work.
It sucked.
But that's one. How about all the good movies that he's been the lead on? Hancock?
Yeah, it's okay.
The Pursuit of Happiness?
Never saw it.
Wild Wild West?
Salma Hayek is the best part of that movie.
Independence Day, the original? There has to be more. I know there's more.
I can't believe you're leaving off the two biggest ones for me.
Which ones are?
You don't know me at all.
Oh, Men in Black. The first one.
Bad Boys, fool!
Oh, yeah, Bad Boys.
Jesus.
Yeah. Dude, Martin Lawrence is just as good, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I can't just give all that to Will Smith.
Fair enough. Okay, yeah. I'll give you that. You saved yourself on that one.
And part two, Gabrielle Union?
Ah, she's okay. They're making part three and part four.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God.
But this, well, part three is not going to be directed by Michael Bay this time, so.
Oh.
Oh.
Sometimes the boom, boom, boom stuff works. And a lot of times, Transformers. It doesn't.
Speaking of Transformers,
oh, shit.
Damn, you're on the right. Just roll that dice. Boop. New trailer, Transformers: The Last Night, Transformers 5. You saw this trailer first. Have at it. Because you were telling me.
I watched it. We're watching wrestling, and the trailer leaked on Facebook. And I told Travis, like, hey, during these commercials, watch this. I want to see your reaction. And he's just like, Nah, that's it. That was his reaction.
What was your reaction?
Unicron!
Maybe.
It has to be. What the? Like, what else does that?
Have you seen any of the past Transformers movies?
Well, yeah. Well, the thing that scratched my head, well, not really scratched my head, but the one thing that I really wasn't expecting.
You scratched your head when you said that.
I don't know what the hell happened. Was Bumblebee running up to punch Optimus, and Optimus just straight up chokeslam that motherfucker.
Right?
And he's got the purple eyes, so it's either Dark Energon or maybe the Quintessons found him in space or something. But if Optimus is reprogrammed, or is straight up like gangsta, I'm in. Like that we're gonna get into that in a little bit, but it's weird. Like you have a precedent of four movies that this guy's good, this guy's good, this guy's the dick, this guy's a bad guy. Like you lay your foundation for your franchise, and then you take a jackhammer and just bang, break that thing up, and that's what I got. What got my attention?
Like,
well, sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, jackhammer, like I'm carrying it and dragging it, because I'm a dumbass and I can just like drag
plugged
it.
In.
I know it's not plugged in.
Why isn't it working?
Do I have to jump on it? I didn't know this pogo stick is heavy.
Yes, Abel, you have to jump on him.
But yeah, that alone, even if Unicron doesn't exist or humans are assholes or Donald Trump is still the president in this movie too, like I don't care. You've already given me something different that I wasn't expecting that's going to make me watch this movie the weekend it comes out.
If we're going conspiracy theory on what's going on with Optimus in this trailer, the purple eyes and everything, one of the thoughts I had was Nemesis Prime. Mm. And if you want to go even nerdier comic book or just a continuity here, it doesn't have to be Optimus. It could be a rebuilt clone of him or something. It could be something else that looks like Optimus, but it's not really Optimus.
It's a GoBot.
Ooh. Blasphemy, sir. Blasphemy. No, there's a lot of cool images in this trailer, and some of them that did kind of intrigue me. It's like, okay, what's... At least it's got my curiosity. So I'm like, okay, what's going on here? I have still low expectations because I have to maintain those low expectations to get some kind of enjoyment out of these movies.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm setting myself up for disappointment. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did notice there's a new group of human kids in this movie. I don't know how that's gonna work out. The Linux dude from first couple of Transformers.
Josh DeHamel.
Yeah, he's back. There was a shot of him in the desert. With I want to say it's probably Megatron, but he's like someone like slams down his big ass axe or sword, whatever, in front of him.
I have no idea what's going on.
But there was a shot of like a silhouette of a Transformer walking into the desert, and he's got the big arm cannon. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's Megatron. I could be wrong. Mm. Could be totally wrong. But who else has a big ass arm cannon?
That's a good question. There's a lot going on that could easily confuse you. You know, there's actually a lot going on. Ever since the second movie, it feels like there's a lot going on. And I can understand why you keep the bar so low, because, like, part two, holy shit, they're bringing back Devastator. Oh, he has nuts. The third movie, holy shit, they're bringing back Sentinel Prime as Leonard Nimoy. Oh, shit, he's a bad guy, and Megatron's his bitch. And the fourth movie, holy shit, they're Dinobots. Oh, they're the size of fucking the Empire State Building, and they're getting picked up by gravity, and they're not even the main heroes in the...
I fell asleep 2 hours ago during that movie.
Oh, man. And even then, part three and four were easily, you could edit out 20 minutes at least.
Easy, 20? Oh, yeah, more than that.
At least.
Yeah. Those movies, those last two movies, they're marathon mode, man.
Yeah. So I'm trying to take the positives as good as I can, but I'm taking everything else with a grain of salt. I'm curious with the Lamborghini. How they're going to treat Hot Rod if he becomes what the other thing that got my attention was.
I'm disappointed about it. I'm already that's one of the reasons I'm upset is Hot Rod's in this thing, because I know they're just going to fuck him all up.
I want to see where the transition is if Sir Anthony Hopkins set the wiki tagline from the first movie, no sacrifice, no victory. So I'm wondering if this is old grown-up Sam or Sam's dad or somebody in that heritage, in that family to try to link the whole tie in the whole story verse together. You know, that got my attention. Sam, the Bumblebee fighting got my attention. And obviously the planet that was the transforming planet that sucked another thing up. And those are the three things that I took out of it the most.
Well, there's that one shot, again, I think it was in the desert, where there's a huge-ass horn coming out of it, or just laying there. So that's why we're kind of thinking
Unicron. So that's either a Unicron horn, or that's one of the fingers from that flying spaceship.
Someone else was saying that, too. Yeah, I saw that online. It's a theory. There was a really cool picture that was like a poster that that was sent out today online.
Rethink your hero.
It's a really cool looking shot of Optimus with a sword and the purple eyes and everything.
And Bumblebee's hand
just laying out
with
to the side.
With what could be Unicron transforming in the mid transformation in the background.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
It's
really, I mean, this the shot itself is a really beautiful image, honestly. I mean, just the colors that it was used in that
image. I mean, from a marketing point of view, I mean, you've had kids even now that are growing up watching these Transformers movies as we grew up watching the 80s.
Right.
And they're seeing Bumblebee, their hero that they can relate to because they're a little kid, you know, and watching him grow up and to fight and get beaten up by the dad figure, which is Optimus. Like, seeing that just comes across a lot different. As opposed to just your tandem, oh, hey, the good guy's fighting the bad guy. Go watch it because there's a lot of explosions. Like, no, there's an underlying theme to this movie that I was not expecting for this movie. You know, so even if they fuck up the Quintessons or if a Unicron's not that, if it's something else, there's still a story here that I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
It's not predictable for me. This one is the least predictable out of all the movies that I've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot going on in this trailer. I mean, there is a whole lot, especially if you've been following the production and all the other news bits that's been coming out. This story is, I hope it's not too out of the, you know, all over the place. I hope there's some, it's got to take it and just tighten it up a little bit. Just tighten up that script a little bit. That'd be nice. So, that's again, waiting to see if anything comes out next year, right? 2017?
Yep.
All right. So, speaking of Transformers, we're talking about that. There's a couple of things. One thing we forgot to talk about last week's episode. We'll hold on for a second on that one. There's a animated series that came out.
Machinima. Yeah. Did we ever like rant or rave of that on the episodes?
No, we were taking a break at the time it came out, so we never got a chance to really divulge our thoughts.
So
about that.
There was a series that Machinima did. Titan Wars. Was it
Combiner Wars?
I forget so much shit going on right now. Combiner Wars. There were, I think, 8 or 9 episodes that were 5 minutes an episode.
Yeah, which really threw that from jump. That threw mostly everybody off. Like, no.
Why aren't these 25 minutes? Why shut the fuck up and watch it?
Like week after week, reading the reviews, like, why is it only 5 minutes? Why is it like? It was like getting to the point. I was like, come on, people.
Yeah.
I've seen other shows like this in this format.
Yeah, there's a G.I. Joe.
Resolute, yeah. It's really good. CW did, in the same universe as Flash and Arrow, they did a Vixen. It was animated. It was 5 minutes long. It was like 8 or 9 episodes.
Dude,
so I'm used to that format. But
right off the top, they did like a prelude. There were 4 episodes in the prelude. And they built up Optimus as a broken down hero. Mm-hmm. They built up Starscream as like a diplomat that was looking out for the cause of
but
all.
But had
it,
like
the,
a burden on him.
Yeah,
you know?
But all the Transformers and like having the weight of trying, like not in a negative way, but in a positive way, trying to meet up to the expectations that everybody had above and below him. Like they talked him down. And then freaking
Victorion,
the combiner, the female combiner that's supposed to make everything right in the Combiner Wars. And then Windblade, the badass. okay, like they sold me on it. And it had its ups and downs.
Mm. Yeah.
If you were to sell it to me for $4 on iTunes as a whole 45-minute episode movie, I'd watch it. Overall, it was a positive for me.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
No, it's definitely not. It's not
everybody's cup of tea.
No, it's not. I love the animation, like the designs. Oh, everything looked really good. There's some story. I think I was giving it the benefit of the doubt up until towards the end. I don't want to give away too much if you haven't seen it yet. But there was the story takes a turn when it comes to Starscream and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But up until that point, there's a really cool shot. I think the best part of this series is Megatron. What they did with that character.
And the ending that involves Megatron.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to say it so bad. It's been out for months. Like, you can't blame us if we tell you. I want to tell you. I'm going to tell you. I'm not. Fuck, man.
Because he was the one that had a beginning, middle, and end to his story arc in this small little story that they were telling. It's so good. The guy that played his voice, like, he had a really good voice actor for it. His chemistry with Optimus Prime in this story, perfect. I mean, everything.
Dude, that's the one part that I'm trying not to be so optimistic about. If the Last Knight movie is going back to the origins of how we got from Transformers into Autobots and Decepticons, if they're gonna dive into Megatronus and Orion Pax, who turn out to be Megatron and Optimus, and actually see them fight together against the common, like we got that in part 3 for like a cup of coffee when they both killed Sentinel.
Right.
But if we could see both of them side by side the way they begrudgingly were in this animated series, dude, I'm fucking in, dude.
Yeah. Well, the reason we're bringing this up, so go up, first of all, go to Machinima. I think they're on YouTube, but
they're definitely on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you have the Verizon app, there's a Verizon Go app, and you can watch the episodes for free.
That's how I was watching it,
you can watch a bunch of other shit on there for free,
too. Well, now, before, there's the only way you can find it was on Verizon, but now they're on YouTube, and I think they did them in two. The videos are 2 episodes each, so they combine some of them.
So it's 9 minutes.
Right.
Complain about that.
They will. No. So there's that. The reason we brought that up is because last week or 2 weeks ago, they announced, because in this whole storyline, they said this is the Prime Wars trilogy. This is the first we've heard about this. And now they announced the next two series that are coming out. The next one is Titan Titan Returns. Mm-hmm. And then after that is Power of the Primes.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So those two are going to be more just like that. But if they have a beginning, middle, and end for this whole overarching thing, man, I still give it the benefit of the doubt. And I hope they learn from some of the criticism that they receive that's justifiable. There's a lot of unjustifiable criticism that you can't. I mean, it's part of
people
the format.
Bitch to yeah. bitch. But there's a couple. There's some nits to pick there in there if you really wanted to succeed.
There were some storylines that I was like, really?
Okay. And not just the storyline. There's some of that animation, like the voice actors and the characters talking didn't match up.
I didn't have a problem with it. Honestly. I will say, I think it was like the second.
Some of the animation wasn't as fluid as you would like it to be compared to other scenes in the episode.
One big nit to pick that I had was, I think it was the second or third episode. It was a shot of Starscream flying. And he's just going in and out of all these different places. And it was just him flying around, getting to this place he's getting to. And it was like, you got 5 minutes. Like cut
get
all
to
that.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like 2 minutes of him just, you know, whatever. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the next two series. And see
I hope it comes soon.
Yeah. Yeah. One last bit about Transformers.
Ah, something else that I want to come soon.
Yes.
On console, because this is the second time. This is the second video game that has been released on mobile
right. Where
I'm thinking, man, they could make some serious ducats if they put mm-hmm. this on main console. The first one was Immortals. So basically, you take Injustice or you take Mortal Kombat, but you replace them with wrestling characters, mm-hmm. and they made a fighting game of it. And for the couple months that I had it on my phone, I even paid some money to like download some cards. It's like, this is a cool game.
Yeah.
We talked about last week how the fighting games are on the rise. I'd pay some top money to have that on an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4. Yeah.
With a more fleshed out system that you can do on a console.
Yeah. This game right here, Transformers Forged to Fight. Oh man, this needs to be like on console, like hardcore.
It's a beautiful
dude.
Looking game.
It looks gorgeous.
And not only that, it's just us as being Transformer geeks or anything, but like the concept of this, of what this game is, it's taking different timelines, different continuities, and they're all fighting each other. Like some, I saw like movie Megatron fighting like G1 Optimus,
yeah.
you know, and
movie and, Starscream against G1 Optimus.
And there's like some from the comic books, IDW, who publishes Transformers right now. So they're kind of intermixing all these different continuities. And for Transformer fans, dude, that's fun. It's just fun stuff that you haven't really messed around with.
Dude,
before.
That's easy DLC too with the movie coming out soon. And then with the new Titans Returns and the IDW book series, mm-hmm. you can keep adding people left and right. If you would have had that on console, I would have been in.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I get the allure of mobile gaming, like for your phones and everything. I'm sure it's
free.
I'm talking about for like makers, like it's ad revenue and things like that. I'm sure they get their own money out of it, but you know, for 30, 40, 50 bucks, 60 bucks a pop, you know, for a console with added features and better fleshed out controls, mm-hmm. DLC, like you're saying, that can make some serious scratch, dude.
Yeah.
But I'll download it for sure. I'm gonna play it. I've been playing Earth Wars. Some of these games, you're playing for so long, you just got to call it quits. I was doing that for Earth Wars,
okay.
Transformers, which was okay, but it's one of those things. It's a city build, world building, you know. And if you're not paying money for it, it's like tapped out on Simpsons and other games like that.
That one took me forever to give up. That was like
yeah, me too.
That's gone.
Yeah, I deleted that one time ago. Yeah. But yeah, this is some of the stuff going on right now. Oh. After the Transformers trailer dropped, there was one more trailer that came out yesterday. Fast and Furious 8.
Yeah.
Or as they're calling it now,
Fate of the Furious.
Yes.
Somebody, the vice president of marketing, fucked that up. You can't call it Fate with F in the 8, so you'll know that it's F8, you know?
Like I was going to say it's genius marketing.
They should have. No, but they didn't. They spelled out the word Fate instead of...
Right now they did. When it comes out, dude, in the same trailer, there's already hashtag F8.
Yeah.
So they're going to do it. It's going to be it's going to be in the posters, yeah.
Again, you have your foundation of the characters, family. You grab that jackhammer, sledgehammer. I'm going to get it right. Sledgehammer, bam, right in the kisser. Dominic
kisser,
Toretto is the bad guy, one of the bad guys. But, come on. It's family, you know. Dom's he's double agent, triple agent. How many times you want to turn? Yeah. Oh no. franchise universe, huh?
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah. By F10, we're gonna have Nicola. We're gonna have fucking Samuel Jackson come back from the first Triple X movie. It was me all along.
He's in the Triple X movie coming.
Yeah, they're blended in. It's the Fast and Furious. So he'll become on Fast and Furious. But it was me. No. I'm God. I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah, it is another Fast and Furious movie.
I'm tired of these motherfucking cars on my motherfucking street.
That is a line from the movie, actually.
Yeah.
It's Dom betrays the family, but for some reason, I guess Hobbs, the Rock, he gets captured or he's in prison. Yeah. I guess for helping them in the past movies.
Yeah.
I would assume that's why he's in prison.
They put him in the same cell next to the villain from the last movie, Jason Statham.
Yeah.
And now they have to be a working team. It's like, yeah, you're the villain because you killed one of our family members. Until we need you, then you're my friend.
Yeah,
get on. Like, oh,
great. Now we have Charlize Theron in there, and we have.
I would go bad guy in a second to make out with Charlize Theron.
Yeah, right.
Ever since I saw her behind the wheel of that little Mini Cooper in Italian Job.
Oh shit!
Fuck over.
It's more about the car than her, huh?
Uh huh. So old school Austin Healey minis, dude.
I saw here's something about.
Charlize Theron?
The fate of the Furious, if you will.
There's still two more after this, keep in mind.
This is a new trilogy.
And they're supposed to come out next year and the year after that, like 19 and 20.
Really?
Or, yeah, 17. 18 and 20.
18, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 18 and 20.
Here's the thing. I noticed a similar vibe from this trailer and Transformers Last Night. The heroes, you got to rethink your heroes. Is that, come on. Like I saw, like the trailer, I mean the poster for the Transformers talking about Optimus standing over Bumblebee's arm. And this one, in Fast and Furious, I saw, like you have Rock in the background looking all heroic. And then you have Dom, like his head down in the front, in the foreground. I was like, are they both doing the same, thing there? So.
Shared universe.
Oh, God. All their cars are Transformers.
Oh shit! Yeah, we were talking about this. We're getting pizza, and I told him, "Yeah, Paul Walker's Supra from the first movie is actually Sunstreaker."
Yeah,
but right. No one's gonna know until part 10.
Right. All right. So,
is that everything? Because we're like 40 minutes in.
Holy
and we still
shit!
We still need to talk of why people are tuning in, because they're not tuning in to listen to us. They're not even tuning in to look at us. They want to hear Walking Dead.
Nah, they don't care about Walking Dead.
Okay, so Fast and the Furious.
Get out, everybody.
We got two more.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. All right, so, okay, so seriously, let's moving on. And I figured we could spend more time on this because there's only one episode we're talking about on Walking Dead this week. So this is the big 90 minutes mid-season finale of Walking Dead.
First impression when the episode finished, what's the first thought that popped in your head?
I'm looking forward to where they're going.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it culminated the way it should have culminated for your big break. If you want to split these seasons into two, then this is, the first half of this has been just devastation for Rick's group, right? Daryl's been captive, Rick's lost his everything, his balls, everything. people have been dying, Michonne's gone off on her own, all these other people are doing their own thing, Maggie's, you know, in a state of her own. So let's cut to the end here where it actually culminates to, it goes back to the hilltop with Maggie and we see her walking up to the top and she's kind of looking out. She gets a little smile on her face. I thought it was going to be Daryl because we never saw, we saw him and Jesus mm-hmm. get out there. We'll talk about it here in just a second. But that was it was Rick and the group coming in, yeah. And
the original clan.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, but let's backtrack here to some of the other talking points on this. Rick and Aaron, they're out scavenging. We saw them in the last episode. They're stuck at that water house
boat
thing.
Yeah. That's surrounded by zombies in the lake.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm watching this with my wife, right? And they're, you know, Rick and Aaron, they're talking and they're getting their plan on how to cross the river and everything, or the water. And I was looking at it, I was like, man, this dude is playing Aaron. I'm really digging this dude. You know, I'm liking what they're doing with the character, right? And not even like 5 minutes later, they're in the water and he gets pulled in into the boat. I was like, you son of a bitch. I just had to say something.
You know what? It's odd that you say that. You know when I finally bought in the Aaron character was when Rick told him, hey, if you want to stay back. And then Aaron goes, I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
Yeah.
You got me, motherfucker. Yeah. And then, oh, of course, I like him. He's going to be the one to fall in the water. He's like, ah,
I immediately thought, as soon as I said that, I was like,
ah, damn it.
And then he, like, he pops up and he says, I'm okay. I was like, motherfucker, you ain't okay.
You know, it was nice to know you.
Were you thinking you got bit?
Yeah.
Are you still thinking you got bit, or do you think they would have said something
about it? Oh, no. That, more events have happened in that episode that he is clearly going to live.
Okay.
So...
yeah, I was even when he pulled him up on back on the boat, I was already.
I was waiting for that walker that they were laying with, that they were cuddling with, to wake up and.
I was just waiting for no, because they're unloading everything. I was just waiting for like a standalone shot of Aaron like lifting his shirt up or something, showing a bite or something.
Yeah.
But they never got that, so he's still alive and kicking for now.
Daryl,
you want to talk
escaping
about
the prison?
Yes,
finally, or the sanctuary.
Yes,
he escapes the sanctuary, and God, thank God. Like, okay, I understand you pussified Daryl.
Was it tension for you? Were you suspenseful for you when he was trying to get out?
Yeah.
Like when he was roaming the halls and he found that one room and he changed out of his clothes. First things first, he found food. He found peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
Ate the whole thing of peanut butter.
And it wasn't just a room.
Whose room was it?
It was Dwight's.
Was it Dwight's?
Yeah, when they had Daryl focusing on the little like trinkets, the little figurines.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't Dwight nor his wife. It was the third chick that was with them when Daryl first found them, like last season.
Okay.
She had them. So when she died, he took them.
He like flipped it over.
Yeah. And okay. Yeah. So
see, I didn't catch
Dwight's room. Oh. I'm guessing when he figured that out, he was looking for his vest and his crossbow and his balls and all that other shit that Dwight now suddenly has. Dollar store Daryl, and you know, he went and took it and peanut butter and everything, you know.
So he's going down the halls and he was still like ducking and dodging. And I was like, dude, you're in disguise now, man. Just chill. I was talking to him. I was like, dude, just chill. You got this. And then he grabbed the pipe or whatever it was, and then he got out and then
beat the shit of poor Fat Joe.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Did that surprise you? Did that shock you or anything? Or
no. Yeah. He had to get it out.
Yeah.
If there wasn't a girl he could fuck, he was going to kill that dude with that pipe.
Yeah.
Or if he couldn't fuck that pipe, he was going to kill somebody with that pipe. That's why he saved some of that peanut butter. Yeah. I know too much.
See, my mind didn't even go there. That's why I keep this guy around. He goes there. This guy. This is why I keep him around.
I've been there. Hard times, man. Hard times.
You still got that outfit Daryl's wearing, huh? All right. So, he kills
Jesus him. Finds him.
Yeah. But he gets the gun from Fat Joe and he holds on to it. And
Rick's
then,
gun.
Yeah. How convenient was that?
I know, right?
But yeah, they get on the motorcycle and they take off. And I was hoping, I was pleasantly surprised. I was hoping that was the last we were going to see of Daryl trying to escape.
Yeah.
Because once you don't show it anymore, you know everything's okay, right? So, that's that storyline.
How about Michonne?
Michonne. I was about to talk about that. That's funny. I laughed. Like, there was two segments that went back to Michonne's story arc, what she's doing. She's trying to find Negan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just laughed because the first thing we see both times is her, like, in the car, just, like, staring staring at the gun and the girls is driving. Not a word. It was just a funny-looking scene to me. I don't know. Just them driving. And so
Michonne ain't gonna kill her. She's driving. She ain't gonna take you where you're gonna go if she's dead.
Or if she tells her what's going on. So they stop and they see the whole area. She said, this is it.
Yeah. And that's where I kind of started feeling sympathy for the chick. I was like, I'm hoping that it come across to the character Michonne that she understands that even though Negan has the numbers, they might not all be in Negan's favor. Because she would have been happy just dying. Just like the dude a couple weeks ago that dollar store Daryl killed, he would have rather died than go back to the group. Yeah. So just don't let the numbers fool him that there's a way that they can manipulate the group to that they can.
And that's what Michonne was starting to figure out. It's like, okay, maybe they're not all, you know, loyal, or they're not all digging that setup.
Yeah.
So, but that's her. And so she told Michonne there's a silencer in the glove box. Do what you got to do. So she did it, and she pulled around and started heading back. But let's get back to one of the main storylines of this episode. Continuation, picking up where last episode left off. Negan in Alexandria.
I never liked Tom Brady, and I don't got to worry about that motherfucker no more. He's not Tom Brady. And I love that Negan figured that out on his own.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the guy that you're trying to take his job, he's out there doing shit for me.
Right.
You are trying to lay in the cut.
Yeah.
Because I know what you're trying to do. I'm going to finish it off.
Actually, that whole... The delivery of Jeffrey Dean Morgan, when he's just talking to him, like... And again, that's how Negan's character is. He doesn't seem threatening at first. You know, he's just kind of talking to you. And then when he says, he's out there doing shit for me. And then as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, shit. He's going to, ain't going to end well for Earl Spence. And sure enough, I wasn't expecting a gut right then and there with the knife.
It's like, you don't have any guts. Oh, there they are. Down the floor.
What did he say? Oh, silly me. I'm sorry. Fuck, you did have the guts. They're right there the whole time.
Yeah.
So him just being his comical self there.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Better for the show. Ghost Rider on S.H.I.E.L.D. or Jeffrey Dean Morgan on Walking Dead?
Oh, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah?
Yeah. He is I don't know what that says about society as a whole, but for me, but his charisma on screen of that character, until he starts killing people, he's a nice guy. I mean,
it's not even that. Just like we're fans of wrestling. If a bad guy believes that he is not a bad guy, then he isn't. You know, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan just laid it out for Spencer. I'm not going to do your work for you.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he laid it down that he's not completely an evil dick, that he can tell when he's getting fooled, you know, and it kind of, even though he came across as a dick when he was telling Rick about it, Negan did actually do Rick a favor. But at the same time, you look at this episode, Michonne thinks she can do a better job than Rick because she's over there hunting Negan on her own.
Right.
Spencer thinks he can do a better job with Rick because he's running out there on his own. Somebody else is on the tip of my tongue that I can't decipher. Maggie, she thinks she can do a better job with Rick because everybody's loving her at Hilltop.
Well, hell, even Carl to an extent.
And Carl has been doing. She's on his own, and like, when he realized, Carl killed my men sneaking up in the thing, and I brought him home safe and sound. It's like everybody right now up to that point is like, you know what? I can do a better job than Rick.
Yeah.
They might not be telling him directly, but their actions are speaking a whole lot louder than what they're saying.
Right.
You know, and that brings us to the end where...
Well, one more thing about that whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
Another little side mark on that whole thing. Rosita's standing right there.
Rosita thinks she can do a better job than Rick.
Yeah, and sure enough, that bullet that Eugene made, when Eugene himself said, I refuse to do this because it's going to get someone hurt or killed, she pulls up the gun, takes a shot, commercial break. As soon as the commercial break, I was like, fuck, she missed. Yeah. Which, of all things to hit, you hit Lucille. Come on, now. Rosita took her shot. She missed. Arda or whatever her name is.
I'm just glad she's dead.
Well, no, Negan's girl that she had, that she like pinned down Rosita with a knife. And she said, who made the bullet? Or he was asking who made the bullet. It's like, I did. He's like, no, you didn't. And then what's her face? I think her name was Arda. I think that's what her name was. Kill someone. And she turns around and kills Olivia.
Yeah.
Point blank, bam, right in the head, done. You know, what'd you think of that? I mean, that whole.
She's a character that I'm not gonna miss.
Yeah.
So she's gone. Poof. Congratulations.
Well, the whole thing with Rosita and the bullet.
No, the fact that Rosita actually leaned into the knife and got cut. Oh yeah. Ah, man, this season has its ups and downs, but this episode felt like it left a good foundation for the second half of this season to go forward. And I am fucking looking forward to it. You have Oceanside. You have the Hilltop. You have Alexandria going up against the Sanctuary. Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do with Eugene? Because they took Eugene.
Oh, well, Eugene's going to have to make bullets. Because he knows how. You know, and you saw they brought all those guns. Rick and and the other guy brought all those guns and they didn't have any ammo. He even said in the boat, all these guns, all they just need are ammo.
There's that one scene when they did come back and those asshole saviors, they're going through the stuff and they found that note on the, even though you win, you still lose.
Yeah.
Man, I feel so bad for Aaron out there, man. Like, and Rick, like, running in there, I was just yelling at Rick. He's like, grow some fucking balls! Do something, man. You're sitting, you know, you're not doing anything. I don't know. And it's getting to the point where they had to do something with Rick going forward, because this whole passive Rick, when everybody else is getting killed or hurt because of his actions.
See, but that's where you draw the line. Like Eugene said it himself, you're gonna try to do something to get us in danger, you're gonna get somebody killed. That's what Rosita did. She got somebody killed.
Right.
If Rick acted like Rosita did, Aaron would have probably got killed. So that's why right now the smart thing to do is to lay back. In time, they're gonna get their comeuppance.
Oh yeah,
and they're gonna. Somebody is going to be living in that jail cell in Alexandria. Somebody. The jail cell that Morgan built a couple episodes ago, where you saw him with the welding match. Like, what the fuck is this motherfucker making? It's a jail cell. And if you read the books, somebody going to be in that motherfucker.
Well, Morgan. They went back to Morgan and Carol and the Kingdom.
Yeah, and the Kingdom, another group that's gonna be, that we're trying to find out if they're gonna get join.
What'd you think of that? Because they went to the house that Carol's staying at, and Carol again, still, she's like, wants no part of nothing. Morgan, he's a pacifist, but he knows they gotta do something.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get everybody on the same page on this thing, and the soldier dude from the Kingdom, he's trying to plead his case to Carol.
That's gonna change, because again, Morgan and Carol are away from the group. They have no idea that Glenn's gone.
Yeah,
they have no idea that Abraham's gone. They have no idea that they tortured the shit out of Daryl. When Carol finds that out, oh, we're gonna get Assassin's Carol. Like, she's gonna go mofo on all these motherfuckers.
Yeah, I saw clips for next week's episode where I think it was Rick talking to Ezekiel.
It's not next week. It's in February.
Oh, my bad. Whatever. You know what I meant. Yeah. I saw the clips for the next episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're already bringing Kingdom into all this.
They might be bringing somebody else into this already.
You say?
Mm-hmm. Because somebody was snooping around.
That's right. The boot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on with that. But whoever, I think it was at the boathouse, right? When we first saw the boot, and then it was a Marvel post-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
If you stayed till after the credits and everything, we went back to that. Gabriel, someone was watching Gabriel at nighttime, right? Mm-hmm. And then we see the boot again. So,
yeah.
Do you have any conspiracy theories on that, or any thoughts?
I've gone in and out on the books. It has to be the next group of villains. If they're following continuity, I mean,
group of villains.
Yeah,
this isn't big enough.
Yeah, Negan's not enough. Yeah, the next group. We had the Saviors, we had the Wolves before then, and then we had Woodbury before then. The next group, storyline-wise, would be the Whisperers. And that might have been the beginning of the Whisperers.
Oh, okay. I don't know nothing about that, so.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're planting seeds beforehand with Morgan building the jail cell, like, early on in this season. They're already planting seeds for the future with teasing the next group that's already keeping an eye on everything. You know, so this is going to be interesting.
Well, they have a good track record of playing seeds because last season or two we've seen Saviors throughout, but we've never seen
the mid season last year was the first glimpse of Negan we got when they had the group that surrounded Daryl and Abraham with the truck before they got blown up with that rocket launcher. So I like where it's going. Like, for the ups and downs, I'm right back to where I was at the end of that season premiere. Like, I'm in. I'm good. Can't wait.
I think that, let's see, we talked about Daryl, we talked about Rick and Aaron, we talked about Spencer, we talked about Rosita, Michonne. Okay, we'll wrap this up again. We talked about it at the start of it, talk about it now. The reuniting of the whole group. That was a really feel-good moment if you've been following these characters throughout the whole season, even before then, about what they've been through. Seeing the look of hope on Maggie's face whenever she sees them coming in. They're all embracing and hugging and everything. And then we see the reveal. They turn around and we see Daryl and Jesus walking through around the side corner there. Nice shot of that. And then the little
Daryl hands Rick the gun and then Daryl just breaks down.
Just before that look, he just like, gives him the nod, like, okay. You know, and then he gives him the gun and then they just like hug it out and Really good moment. Really, did you watch that at the Neil's Bar, right?
Yep.
How was that? Was
oh, we're not supposed to advertise because apparently you're not supposed to watch watch shows like that in bars or what? Whatever. Like mass viewings. If they're not sponsored by AMC, you're not really supposed to like advertise that you do it because you'll get shut down.
It sounds like you've been talking to somebody.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Trying to get sponsorship for the show, man.
So you did talk to someone.
No one was there that I could talk to.
Oh, okay.
But they are aware that I'm snooping around.
All right. So on the down low, what was the vibe like watching it?
Oh, dude. Yeah. It's fun. Like, it just imagine your reaction times 25 because everybody's feeling the same thing you do. Everybody's on the edge of their seat. Everybody reacting when something cool happens. People start sniffling at the end when Daryl just breaks down in front of right into Rick's arms. It's fun as shit, dude.
Yeah.
And then the Walking Dead's gonna start up in February, and then once that's over, Game of Thrones.
Aye.
Yeah. So.
All right, so that was the big 90-minute mid-season finale. We got to wait till February for the Rise Up. I think they're already promoting it, the Rise Up.
Yeah. All Out War. It's coming.
Yeah, I'm digging it, dude. They ended on a high note, and that's something that I can't recall last time they actually ended something on a high note for to come back to, you know? Yeah. Usually it's on a big cliffhanger. Someone died or something yeah. that's happening. So this is a different change of pace.
No, you know when it was? It was that mid-season break at the at Terminus where Rick and a couple of people get thrown in that train car and they find everyone else of the group is in that train car. And Rick looks around and he's like, they fucked with the wrong people.
Yeah.
That one's the last time that I felt like this. That was a mid-season, I think. Yeah.
I'm sure, I think. Awesome. All right. So, do we have anything else?
Bro. Whew. That's it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I deserve a lunch after this. I feel like I just went to work.
Or like a break. Like we deserve a break, right?
Yeah.
So, but maybe we'll come back. Maybe we'll come back before February.
Yeah.
And we got some other ideas in the pipeline. We kind of said some, or last week's episode, about some of the ideas we might be brewing. But in the meantime, always follow us. If you enjoy our shows, you're here on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/popculturerewind. Subscribe to us. Give us a thumbs up on the show. Leave a comment below if you like, or maybe you've got some comments of your own. Let us know.
Or suggestions.
Yeah.
Yeah. A very rousing debate. What's better, Playboy or Hustler? We could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pop culture on after hours. Yeah, there you go.
We have a nice little jazz intro, and we'll have cigars. We'll set the we'll dim the lights.
Yeah.
Okay. Nah.
So, we got that. Check us out on social media: facebook.com/popculturerewind. Also follow us on Twitter at
pop culture RWND.
Yes, there you go.
Playboy and Hustler's like
yeah, that really did mess with your mind. All right. So, we got some stuff coming out. We got some really cool movies coming out. We got Rogue One coming out.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's going to be, we might do an episode on that maybe, a review of that. In the meantime, check us out, HWR Network.
We do the wrestling show too from time to time, sometimes.
Weekly?
Yeah.
From time to time. Every week, right here, Wednesday nights on YouTube. Live. We do live streaming.
Live, in person, in the Technicolors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can find us to Enable in the talking about the wrestling. And yeah, so we're there. And then also facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio. Unless I change it. Did I change it to Houston?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. I can't even try. Either Houston Wrestling Radio or HWR Network. So
something like that.
Yeah.
But it's time for us to go.
Yeah. So until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
Top guys. Out.
Clink, clink.
Oh, no, wait. We can do that.
Clink me. Wait. Don't show the logo. Clink.